Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Samach Dalet. We left off on daf Samach Gimel and Beis. We're about 14 lines from the end of the page, exactly 14 lines from the end of the page, at the two dots, Amar Rav Nachman Klala de Rabisa. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali Lunishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Da Shalom, also by Daniel Salian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, and also by Eliza and Aaron Hertz and family, in memory of Eliza's father, Judge Noach, dear Zichron of Bracha, Noach Ben Meshulam Shrago's fourth yard site is tomorrow, the Neshama Shevin Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So again, we're holding at the two dots on Samach Gimel and Beis, about 14 lines from the end of the page. The Gemara is going to discuss the following. What if a person gives a discounted price for stuff that the seller already owns, but he currently does not have access to that? Is that considered ribbis? I'm giving you a discount because I need the money right now, but I can't provide you with the product right now, but I do have the product, I just don't have access to the product. Then the Gemara is going to talk about, what if you borrow money and then it turns out that the guy lent you more money than the amount you agreed upon? What do you assume that extra money is for? Do you assume it's a mistake? Do you assume it's a matana? How do you handle that extra money that was given to you? Then the Gemara on Amud Aleph is going to talk about whether a person can take prepayment for a cheap price on something that you don't have, but it's automatically going to grow, meaning it's something that's going to be there, it's just that it's not yet fully ripened. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about making a deal to buy something when you're protected against loss, where what we call Karov L'Schar V'Rachok L'Hefsid, that I make a deal to buy something, and any loss that the item would have, I have some sort of protection, the seller is protecting me against that loss. Is that going to be considered some form of ribbis? And then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to say how if I lend somebody money, I cannot, in addition to getting paid back, also live in their chatzer rent-free. That would be ribbis if I go and I live in their chatzer rent-free. So the Gemara is going to discuss, is that true even in a case where normally you wouldn't have to pay rent? What if it's a case of Zenen of Zelo Chatzer, where the halacha is that he wouldn't be able to sue me for the rent money when I go and I live in his chatzer. So would that also be considered ribbis? Or even more, what if it's zelonene v'zelo chaser? I have plenty of options of where I'm able to live rent free, and I just chose this one, and the guy was not going to rent out this chatzer anyway, so he has no right to charge me any rent for this chatzer. Is even that considered to be ribbis if I go and if I'm a lender and I go and I live in the lover's chatzer rent free? So that's going to be the discussion on Amud Beis. So let's begin 14 lines from the end of the page on Daf Samach Gimel and Beis. Amar Rav Nachman. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman klal de ribisa kol agar natarle aser. The klal of the isser ribis is not only is it aser to do is it an isser of ribis when I lend money and I get back more money, but any time there's a financial benefit for the delay of payment, whether it be a halva'a or whether it be a mecher, even on a sale, that's aser. So if a person prepays for something and the seller doesn't have it yet, right? They have this book is going to come out. It's not yet published, but you prepay and then it's going to come. So you get a discounted prepaid price. So that's considered to be ribbis and that is usr. V'am Rav Nachman, Haiman Diyav Zuzi, Rav Nachman also says, if a person gives money liki ra'a for someone who sells wax, so I'm giving you money in advance and I'm expecting the delivery at some later date. V'ka'azli arba arba. And right now, you can get four units of wax for a zuz, but v'amarlei, the mocher tells the lokeach, because you're prepaying and I don't have the merchandise on hand yet, yivn l'chamish chamish, I'll give you five units for a single zuz. So isnu gabe, if the guy actually has all of the merchandise on hand at the time that the money is paid, it's just that it's not in this city, or he doesn't have the key to the warehouse where he keeps it, but he has it. He's the owner of all of the merchandise that he's selling, and I just don't have access to it right now at this moment. But I need the money right now at this moment. So shari, that you're allowed to do. That's not a violation of ribbis, because as soon as the the money changer's hand, we view it as if the mocher is makne the merchandise to the lokech, to the buyer, and therefore it's not considered a halva'a. It's considered that I gave him a good deal on buying wax, just like we're going to see when it comes to the isra of halva'a of sa'a b'sa'a, that I'm not allowed to lend you a pound of flour to get back a pound of flour, because maybe by the time you give me back the pound of flour, the prices will have gone up. But if at the time that I lend you the pound of flour, you actually have plenty of flour to give back to me, then it's going to be mutter. If you have the merchandise on hand, and you just you have the pound of flour, you just don't have the keys to the warehouse where you keep it or whatever, so that's going to be mutter, because you have it, you just don't have immediate access to it. So it's considered as if I'm already the owner of whatever's in your rishus. So lesnu gabe aser. But if you don't have the merchandise at all, you're not yet the owner of the merchandise that you're selling to me, because it doesn't exist yet, or you don't have it yet, then it's aser to charge a cheaper price for the advance payment on that merchandise, because that's what we call agar natar, that it's the schar for holding, for having the time value of money. Tosos points out that that's dafka if it's something that the price is known. So you're not allowed to give a cheaper price for a prepayment. But something that doesn't have a known price, you're allowed to give a cheaper price for a prepayment, as long as you don't say that you're doing it for the sake of prepayment. I mean, it could just be, okay, this is the price that you're getting. It's not, if no one knows that it's supposed to be $10 a pound, so when I'm only charging you $8 a pound, that doesn't look like ribbis, because no one knows that it should have been any different. Unless I say it beferish. So if I say it beferish, so then that's going to be a problem, Tosos points out. So now ask the Gemara, pshita. Obviously, if the guy doesn't have the merchandise, of course that's a violation of what Rav Nachman said, that any agar notar is going to be aser. That's exactly agar notar. What's the chiddush that Rav Nachman is telling me that this case is aser, that if the guy doesn't have the merchandise on hand, I cannot take I cannot get a discounted rate for prepayment. So says Melo Tzricha, Dislay Ashroy B'masa. He may not yet be the owner of the merchandise, but he has rights to purchase that merchandise from someone else. He already made a deal with the supplier of the merchandise, and he had already given money to that supplier, so he just hasn't taken possession of it. So it's not just in a warehouse somewhere that he doesn't have the key to. It's not just something that he doesn't have immediate access to. He's not yet the owner of it, but he's got it lined up. He has a deal lined up to be able to get that merchandise. So I might have thought that it's since he has such a deal lined up, it's considered as if he already has it in his rishus, and therefore it would be just like he has it in a warehouse and he just needs his son to come in to bring it to him, or he needs to find the key to be able to access it, where it would be mutter. So that's Rav Nachman is teaching me, that since he has not yet taken possession of the merchandise, it's as if it's not in his rishus at all, and therefore he's not allowed to give a discount for a prepayment. Shittim Gvetzes quotes Ramach that this is not like a person who is selling a chov to other people, to someone that other people owe him, where you're allowed to sell it for less than the value of the chov, whether it's a milva alper or whether it's a milva b'shtar, and we don't consider that to be a chashash ribis, meaning I know that someone owes me $10,000, but it's not due for another month. I need the money right now. So I'll sell you my chov for $9,000. So you're going to pay me $9,000, then you'll be able to collect from the guy that owes me money in a month from now $10,000. That's mutter. That's not a chashash ribis. Because when I sell the chov, the achrayus is on the lokeach, that it's up to him to do the collecting, meaning he now has the headache, right? That's the flipping, that's mortgages. That's what all these major mortgage companies, they just don't want the headache of being the ones to go collect. So I'll flip it to the next company. So if you're not able if he's not able to collect from the lova, the lokeach is going to be the one that loses out. It's not going to be the mocher's problem. So it's not a halva at all. That's a mekach. The guy is buying the chov. But over here, the achrayus on the chov remains the mocher's achrayus. So if he ends up, if the deal that he has worked out in advance ends up falling through and he's not able to collect from the people that he has lined up to provide him with that merchandise, he's going to have to come up with other merchandise to provide to the lokeach. It's on him. It's his responsibility. And therefore, that's not a real mecher. That's much more like a halva'a. So by charging a discounted price for that, that's going to be a violation of ribbis. That's the chiddush of Rav Nachman. Now, once we mentioned this idea of being mochel chavero for the sake of a certain price, for the sake of having a prepayment, so we discuss another statement of Rav Nachman that relates to ribbis. V'am Rav Nachman, hayman da ozif pshite mechavrei, a person that lends that borrows some coins from his friend. And the deal was that it was supposed to be X number of coins. But he takes the bag of coins, he brings it home, and he finds that there are more coins than the agreed upon amount that he was borrowing. So, if the amount that it was off by is the amount that people would likely make a mistake in that amount, so I better run back to the guy's house and give him back the extra coins, because clearly he made a mistake. He was supposed to give me X number of coins, he gave me X plus Y. I better run with Y coins and bring it back to him. But if it's not the amount that people would typically make a mistake, so then I can assume matana ba'alma hudiyavle, that the malva, the lender, was giving the borrower a matana, and the lover therefore does not have to return the extra coins that he received. Meaning, ribis is a guy gives me $100 and I'm expected to return $110. Over here, the guy gave me a $10 gift plus a $100 loan, and I have to return the $100 loan. I get to keep the $10 gift. He gave me extra money that I'm able to keep, because see, when people borrow money, it's obvious because they need money. So the guy says, look, I'll give you a little bit of a matana, and I'll give you a little bit as a loan, so I don't have to return it. I can assume that it was not a mistake, that it was intended as a matana. The Rishonim point out that's only if the malva is not toveya, meaning if the malva says, wait, I made a mistake, I gave you too much money, give it back. So you admit that he gave you too much money and that you weren't expecting it, so then of course you're going to have to give it back. The Ritva just is bothered. Why can you ever assume anything? Shouldn't you always have to pick up the phone and call the guy and say, I found some extra money. Was this a mistake or was it? So it's a pella that you could just make an assumption that if it's not the amount that a person would normally make a mistake on, then you could just assume it's a matana. But that's what Rav Nachman is saying, that you can assume in that case that it's a matana. So it says, what is the amount that people typically make a mistake on? We just, threw that phrase out there without giving any real explanation of what that phrase means. So Amar Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Yosef, he explains, what is that amount? In multiples of 10 or 5. Meaning apparently the way people used to count their money is that they would prepare bundles of either 5 coins or 10 coins. So they were very precise, and they would never make a mistake in how many coins are in each bundle. If it's supposed to be a 5 coin bundle, they're always going to be 5. It's not going to be 4, it's not going to be 6. If it's supposed to be a 10 coin bundle, it's always going to be 10. But when someone says, can I borrow $50, you may just take one extra bundle or one too few bundles. That's where a person can make a mistake. So if you were supposed to borrow $50 and you come back and you see that there's $55 there, so then you can assume that he just miscounted the number of bundles that he gave you. So when it's off by 5 or it's off by 10, that's considered the amount that a person would make a mistake on. So that's the assumption over here. And so if it's, let's say, off by 8, so you assume that that's the amount a person would not make a mistake on. When it's off by 8, then you have to assume that that's a matana. The preacher points out in Chosh Mishpah, wait, if it's off by 8, why don't I assume that 5 of it was a mistake and 3 was a matana? Why do I get to assume that all 8 was a matana? So the preacher says, no, we don't make that assumption. You can't assume, and the Achronim explained, why don't you make that assumption? Because you're not told that 2 unexpected things happened. Something unexpected happened. I got 8 extra, 8 more than I saw. So I'm gonna assume that there was both a matana and also a tolus that happened to coincide at the same time. No, we just need to be tola this discrepancy on something. We're not going to be tola it on two different things. So ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Ravashi, V'i'in ish takifu hu d'lo yav matana. Let's say the discrepancy was by 8, right? So you're going to assume that it's a matana. It was not a multiple of 5 or 10. But you know this guy. He's a hard hard and difficult character. He's not the kind of guy that gives matanos. So my, what are you going to say? You're going to be told that he is giving you a matana and that you're allowed to keep it? So Amaleis, Rav Ashi said back, Dilma migzal gazdei ve'ivulei b'cheshbon. No, then you assume that it's not a matana, but that he really owes you the money, that he had once stolen from you, and he was embarrassed to tell you that he stole from you and to return the money to you, so he was mavliya, the money, in the cheshbon of that which he lends to you. D'tanya, goes alas chaveru, because the Brice after all says that if someone steals from somebody else and he comes to return it, he doesn't let him know that he had stolen from it, just ve'ivliya lo b'cheshbon, he's mavliya, the amount that he stole, in the cheshbon of what he's giving him, yatz. That's a chiyuv of Hashavas HaGzela. So that's a fulfillment of the chiyuv of Hashavas HaGzela. So since he's fulfilling the chiyuv of Hashavas HaGzela that way, it's a reasonable thing to assume that that's what he's doing. The Magen Giborim points out the Gemara does not mean to say that had the din been that if someone who steals from someone else and is mavliya lo b'cheshbon, that he's not yotzei Hashavas HaGzela, that you would then not be able to be tola that that's what he was doing. Meaning, even if he's not yotzei the mitzvah of Hashavas HaGzela, you could still be tola. You would still be able to be told that that's what he's doing, because not everyone knows the dinim of Hashavas HaGzela. It could be that he doesn't know that he's not yotzei Hashavas HaGzela, and he thinks this is just a good way to even things out. What the Gemara means to, is trying to tell me over here is that had the din been that he's not yotzei Hashavas HaGzela with this, then when you receive that money, even though you could be told that that's what he was trying to do, you would have a responsibility to go back to him and to tell him, look, you were not mekayim in the midst of Hashava properly, so let's have this conversation. And only if you have this conversation where you're telling me that this is your Hashava, only then are you chayv, would you fulfill your chiv Hashavas HaGzela. Because you see that he clearly thinks he's being Yotzei Hashavas HaGzela. But now that the halacha is that he actually is Yotzei Hashavas HaGzela, you could just leave it be. You could assume that that's what he did, and therefore you can keep the money. You don't have to have any further conversation. But what if it's a person you never had any dealings with? He's just some random guy. You never had any business dealings with. So my, what are you going to assume the money? You know that he's a type of character, reputation wise, he doesn't give matanos. And the chances that he ever stole anything from you, never had an opportunity to steal anything from you, you never had any dealings with him. People you do business with all the time, they have opportunities to steal things from you. So it's very unlikely that this fellow ever stole anything from you. So what should you assume then? So Amalei, Dilma Ina Shachrina Gazlei, V'Amalei, Ki Yosef Ploni Pshita Minach, Avalei B'Cheshbon. You have to assume that maybe someone else once stole from you, and they were too embarrassed to tell you that they stole from you, but they feel bad about it, they want to do tshuva, they want to pay you back, so they heard that this guy's doing business with you, so they told this guy, here's an extra $10, $8, please give it to this, stick it in the bag that you give to him. The Rashash says, and why don't you assume that maybe someone just wants to give you a matana? I mean, why do you assume that it's a gzela? So he says, you don't assume that someone else wanted to give you a matana, and he's mavliya in the cheshbon, because when a person wants to give a matana, he wants to be known that he's giving a matana. Meaning, people give a matana because they want someone to be makir tova to them for the matana. So, if he didn't do that, then you have to assume that it was Hashavas HaGzela and not a matana. Not that it would make enough gemina. Either way, you'd be allowed to keep it. You can keep a matana, you could keep a gzela. And Rosh Hashanah just bothered why the Gemara assumes that it's a gzela that the guy is returning and not a matana that someone is sticking in. I don't know. If a person is strapped for money, very often it is a matana. That's very commonly the way people give a matan b'seser, that people give when they know that someone needs money, is they find a way. They find a way to sneak the money in. They call the school and they say, send them a tuition bill for less than their actual tuition. We do that all the time for people. So, okay, whatever, but that's the Gemara's assumption. So now the Gemara discusses whether another case. Amar Rav Kana, the Yosivna B'Shili Pirkei to Rav. Rav Kana says, you know, I once went to Rav's shir and I came late. V'sham is to come kari kari. So I came late, so sometimes you come late to the shir, you have no idea what's going on, because you weren't there as the whole sugya was being built and the whole case was being described. I just heard him saying gourd, gourd. I heard him talking about gourds the whole time and I had no idea what was going on. So Basar de Kamra, so I sat there respectfully, obviously, right? Basar de Kamra, right? Sometimes a person comes late to the shir. Wait, you never explained. If you would have come on time, you would have. So I sat there respectfully. I wasn't going to interrupt the shir, but Basar de Kamra, after Rav got up and he left the base of Medrash, Army Luhu. So I asked the Talmid, my curry curry to come around. What's this? What halachas is he talking about with gourds? What was he talking about? So Amrali, they explained to me, Hachi Kamarav, Haiman Yav Zuze Liginoa Akari, that if a person gave money to a guy who has a garden that grows gourds in the garden, in exchange for gourds. V'ka'azdi asara kari b'nei zarta. And the going rate is you get 10 such gourds that are each the size of half an amma for a zuz. So you get 10, we'll call them small gourds for a zuz. That's the price. V'amar le, but the fellow who owns the garden tells the buyer, listen, Yahiv Nalach, I'll give you for the money b'nei garmida. I'll give you large gourds. I'll give you full amma size gourds. So as long as you prepay, as long as you pay me in advance. So for that same zuz, that really you should get 10 small gourds, you're going to get 10 large gourds from me as long as you pay me right now. So Isnehu, if he already has large gourds in his garden, shari, then it's mutter to do such a thing because that's as if he's being makna to him right now. So he's just giving him a good deal on these large gourds. But lesnu, if he does not yet have them in his garden, then usr, then you're not allowed to make such a deal because it turns out that you're giving him a cheaper price because he's prepaying you before you have the merchandise. That's a garden attire. That's getting a cheaper price for the time value of money, and that's a violation of ribbis. So asking Gemara pshita, of course it's a garden attire. What's the chiddush of Rav? Says Gemara, no mal detema, meaning isn't that obvious that that's exactly the example that Rav Nachman started. We started today's daf with Rav Nachman saying that if you give for prepayment, the guy's going to get more. That's a violation of ribbis. So no mal detema, had it not been for Rav, I would have thought that since he already has gourds in his garden, they're just not fully grown yet. Kivan de memela karavu, they're going to grow. It's the nature of the gourds that he has. So shapir dami, it's as if he already has the merchandise, because he does have the merchandise. He just doesn't have the merchandise fully grown at this point. So kamashulan, that's why it tells me, well, if he doesn't have the merchandise fully grown, he doesn't have the merchandise yet, and therefore that's agar natar, and therefore that's going to be Usr. The Achronim raised the question that why is there ribbis over here? Diluim are mechubal lekarka. The halacha is bekol mechubal lekarka is dino kekarka, and the din by karka is that there how you kona karka. What's a maisa kinyan you make on karka? Kesef, shtar, chazaka. So kesef is a form of kinyan that you could do on karka. So if the guy pays the money right now, isn't he buying those gourds as the mechubal karka? So he now just becomes the proud owner of these growing gourds, and then the gardener is just allowing them to continue to grow in his garden. Why is that ribbis? So the Beis Aaron explains that the ikar ribbis over here is the fact that he allows them to continue to grow in his garden for free. The Gemara assumes that the fact that they grow on their own is not considered yeshlo. So there's he's prepaying money for to receive the benefit of the gardener allowing them to grow, and that's the agar nata. That's what's going to be. That's the iser. So anyway, so the Gemara brings a raya that Rav is in fact correct, that even though it's going to grow memela, it's not considered that you already have the merchandise. So keman, which of the tanaim is Rav assuming like? Meaning, what's the makar for Rav? By the way, we say Rav over here that it's Rav that was Rav Kana sitting in Rav's shir when he was talking about gourds. A lot of the Achronim point out, the Rashash, the Yavitz, they point out that the Girsa should probably be Rava and not Rav. And we'll see why in a moment, but right now we'll say it the way the Gemara says it, that it's Rav. So anyway, so Keman, which Shita in Tanoim is Rav assuming like? Ki Haitan, the following Shita, Tanya Ha'olich, Lachlov, Aziz, Ovelikzos, Rechelov, Vilirdos, Kavarto. If a person is going to milk his goats or to shear his sheep or to take the honeycombs from his honeycombs, Umetzo Chavero, and he runs into someone else before he does these activities, Va'omilo, so the owner of the goats or the sheep or the honeycomb says, Mashi izicholvos machurlach. I'll say, I don't know what the yield of my goat is going to be. I'm about to milk my goat. It could give me a half a gallon of milk. It could give me 5 gallons. I have no idea what it's going to give me. I'll sell you whatever that yield is for X number of dollars. And, if it's a small yield, you lose. If it's a large yield, you win. So, or Mashi recheli gozos, or whatever I'm going to shear off the sheep. Again, I have no idea what the yield is going to be. Machurlach. Or Mashi kivarti roda machurlach. Or whatever honey I'm going to get. So mutter, you're allowed to do that. That's not a chashash ribbis, because though he may be getting more than he paid for, the guy who paid for it may be getting more than he paid for, that's not a garnitar, because he's also taking a risk of loss. And if he takes a risk of loss, that's why he's getting the profit, meaning if he gets a good deal and he ends up paying a small amount of money for a large amount of milk, the reason he's able to get a large amount of milk for that small amount of money is because he didn't know it was going to be a large amount of milk. He might have ended up paying way more than the amount of milk that he's going to be getting. So that's why he's getting extra. It's not because he's prepaying, it's because he's assuming risk. So whenever you're getting more because you assumed a certain amount of risk, that is not ribis. Aval im amr lamashi zichovos kach v'kach. But what if the guy says, I guarantee you at least 3 gallons of milk, if you prepay it? So he's guaranteeing a certain amount. Masha Rechili goes those kach v'kach machor lach. Masha Givarti wrote the kach v'kach machor lach. So then usher. Then it's going to be usher because it turns out that he's giving him a cheaper price because of prepayment. And it could be that that they don't have that amount of milk or wool or honey, and he's going to have to make up for it from some other place. So bottom line is, you see from this brisa that Rav is correct, that you're not allowed to be to set a price on diluim that are very large when you only have small diluim, and we don't say that, oh, but they're going to grow, so it's as if they're already in your rishus. Because over here also, we said kach v'kach is aser, even though eventually there will be that amount of milk, eventually there will be that amount of wool, it's going to grow, eventually there will be that amount of honey. No, but eventually is not right now. You have to have it on hand. Even though it's going to happen automatically, but right now it's not, and therefore it's going to be usher. So ikata amri amar Rava, others say that Rava said, that's the indication that it was Rava the whole time, right? Because ikata amri, it should be ikata amri amar Rav, or just amar Rava, and Rava's disagreeing with Rav. So the fact that the Gemara says a second lashon of what Rav says, but says ikata amri amar Rava, yeah, that's not a way to express a machlokas, unless some of the acharim say it's ikata amri that Rava says in the name of Rav, that Rava's quoting Rav. Okay, but whatever it is, that kivin de memela karavu shapir dami, since that he said differently by the gourds, that since the gourds are going to grow on their own, that's considered as if it's already biyado. It's as if it's not considered a problem of ribis, the exact opposite. Vatanya, and then instead of the brisa being a raya, we ask from the brisa, but didn't we say in this brisa, kach v'kach aser, that if I'm guaranteeing you a minimum amount of milk from the goat I'm about to milk, a minimum amount of wool from the sheep I'm about to shear, a minimum amount of honey, then that's going to be aser. So says Gemara, no, there's a difference between the two cases. Hasam, in the case of the milk and the wool and the honey, lav minei karavu, it doesn't grow from that which you already have. You're going to need more to make up the shortfall. The shakli lelahai, when you remove the chalav that the milk that the animal has produced thus far, asiachrina beduch. More milk will come in its place. But it's not this milk that's growing into more milk. It's when you take this, then more milk is going to grow in its place. But over here with these diluim, right now they're small, they themselves will get bigger. And if you don't give them the opportunity to do so, if you take these gourds out of the ground now and you don't give them the opportunity to become bigger, another one is not going to come and take its place. So you could be machnit to the lokeach, the smaller gourd, at the shas mechira, and memela, when it grows, it belongs to the lokeach, because it was his gourd that grew, so that's not considered a garnatar, because you were machnit that to last to him at the time that it was in Yergina, at the shas mechira. Okay, so now the Gemara brings another case of setting a price for wine. Amar Rabbi Sharli l'shlemem l'chavrei, a guy could tell his friend, helech harbe zuzi achavi Dechamra. Take 4 zuz for the barrel of wine that you have in your rishus, and you make it tonight. Itakfa, if the wine goes bad, birishusach, then you keep that barrel and you'll give me my money back. Meaning I'm not assuming any risk on this wine. I'm going to give you $4, I expect the barrel of wine, but if it goes bad, I expect my $4 back. Iyakra, if the wine goes up in value, izila, or even if it goes down in value, but it's still wine, it doesn't get ruined, berishusi, whatever fluctuation in price, that's on me. I'm going to get the barrel of wine, you're not going to have to worry about that. So I'm going to Rav Shavya said to Abai, why is that mutter? Hai karav l'sachar v'rachok le'afsed, who? Isn't it after all, a case where the guy's assuming almost no risk, because if the wine sours, he's going to get his money back. So isn't that karov l'sachar v'rachok l'hefsid? It's a situation where by prepaying, you're getting a benefit of a chance of making money with very little chance of losing money. So isn't that a gar netar? Sarmalei, kibin the mekabel l'zula, karov l'zel l'zehu. No, because he is taking risk also, meaning he's taking the risk of a price fluctuation in either direction. And as long as you're taking risk, so then that's just an investment. That's not considered to be a ribbis situation. If he took zero risk and he said, if this goes down by even a dollar, then you got to give me back all my money. So yeah, then in a finami, that would be a violation of a gar netar. Now the lashon of itakfa, that if it goes bad, that I want my money back. So Rashi understands it means if it turns into vinegar, I want my money back. If the wine sours and becomes vinegar, Tosfos just points out that if it were to turn into vinegar, you don't even need to make such a tanai, because we're going to have a gemara later on on Daf Ayin Gimel that wine that's if it wasn't moved from one barrel to the other, you can assume that it was chometz the entire time, and therefore it's a mekach taus, and you get your money back anyway. So Tosa says over here, itakfa must mean that something else happens to it, not that not just a price fluctuation, and not that it turns to vinegar. Something else that makes it bad. Something else that makes it not good wine, where you're making a part of the deal that you're going to get your money back. Okay, new Mishnah now. If a person lends money to someone else, lo yador b'chatzer chinam, the lender cannot go live in the borrower's chatzer for free. Velo yiskar mimenu b'pachos mipnei shu ribis, and you also cannot pay less than the fair market value of a rental on that property, because the fact that he's giving you such a good deal, or he's giving you for free, is clearly on account of ribis. Now, if they made that deal originally when he lent him the money, that listen, I'm going to lend you $100,000. I want $100,000 back, and I'm going to live in your property for free. That's ribis ktsutsa midaraisa. If they didn't make that deal at the shas halva'a, so then it's not ribis ktsutsa, then it's only ribis midarabanan. When it comes to paying a rent just at a discounted price, that's machlokas. If they machlokas rishonim, if they made such a deal at the shas halva'a, is it ribis minatora? Shulchan Aruch says yes, that's ribis min haTorah, because even getting a discount price, if it was stated at the outset that I'm lending you this money, now I'm going to get a discounted price on the rental, that's ribis ktsutsa, because that discount is ribis ktsutsa. However, the Tos Rid says, no, you're paying for it, you're just getting a good price on the rental, not ribis ktsutsa, it's avak ribis, it's ribis midrabanan. So that's a machlokas, how to understand that. But either way, by getting either free living or a free rental or a discounted rental, it's going to be a violation of ribis. Now, there is a sugya Masechta Bava Kama where the Gemara talks about someone who lives in someone else's chatzer, shelo midaito. So if it's a chatzer that the guy could otherwise make money on, it's omei laskara, or the Baal chatzer suffers some sort of loss by you living there, there's hashcharas ksalim, the walls become darkened, it gets devalued, then the Baal chatzer could be toveya, whoever's squatting in his chatzer, he could be toveya the full rental cost of that chatzer. But if it's a chatzer that's not omei laskara, and there's no devaluation of the property by the person living there, so if it's a person who anyway had other opportunities to live in properties for free, that's called zelo nene v'zelo chaser, then for sure the Baal Chatzar cannot charge him rent. And even if the guy who's squatting there did not have other opportunities to live somewhere for free, so it's zenene, but still zelo chaser, the guy couldn't rent out this property to anybody else, and there's no loss to the property, that's a machloka samarayim, whether you can charge him for that for living there. Tosfos points out, for sure he's not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to go squat on someone else's property without permission. Question is, once he has done it, do we say that he can charge you rent for that? That he could charge you back rent for the time that you were living there? So anyway, so with that background, Amar Rav Yosef Bar Min Yomi, Amar Rav Nachman, Afal Pisha Amar Adabar Chatzar Chaveiro, Shalomi Daito, Enu Tzarech La'alos L'Sachar, even though we said that if you squatted someone else's property, and it's the kind of Chatzar where he could not have rented out anyway, and it didn't cause any loss to his property, so you don't don't have to pay him for that. But if you lent the guy money and then you go and you live in his chatzer, you better pay rent for that, because otherwise it smells of ribbis. Meaning, even though it's not something that's that you can put a monetary value to, it just looks bad. I lend him $1,000, he's going to give me back $1,000 plus I'm living in his chatzer for free. So no, you can't do that for free. You're going to have to pay him. That smells like ribbis. So my kamash, what's the chiddush tanina? We already learned this in the Mishnah. We already learned in our Mishnah that if you lend someone money, you cannot get free rent in his property, nor can you even get a discounted rent in his property. So it says, I would have thought that the Mishnah is talking about a chatzar that can otherwise be rented out, so the owner of the property could otherwise make money, and the guy who's living there otherwise would pay money for a property, otherwise doesn't have any other free options. But if you have a case where it's ze lo nene, vize lo chaser, that the person who owns the property could not get any money for this property, and the guy who's living there had other options to live for free, say him alo, I would think he's not giving him anything, because there's no monetary value to his living in that chaser. So kamashmalan, therefore, comes to tell me, afal pikein, if you lent this guy money, you cannot be living in his property rent free, even if there is no monetary value that you can assign to that rent. So you see that the loveh is not allowed to do a tova to the malveh for no reason, even if he would have done it to somebody else. Meaning anybody else who goes and squats in that chatzar, he's not charging any rent. But the guy that lent you money, he's not allowed to live there. So Tosfos raises the question: really, if I lend money to somebody, so he's not allowed to do me any favors at all, even favors that he would have done for me otherwise? Yeah, so he's a nice guy. Every morning when we walk into shul, he opens the door for me every morning. So now that he lent me money, that I lent him money, he's going to slam the door in my face every morning. He's not going to be things that he would have done anyway. So Tosfos suggests that over here it's dafka by things that are farhesia, that it has a kol and it's just going to look terrible. But if it's something more quiet that he would have done, then ein chinam, he's allowed to do the favors that he otherwise would have done. The other answers as well. Tosfos over here gives other answers. Tosfos himself, Baba Kama, gives other answers. But I want to get to the end of the daf. Another version of what Rav Yosef Bar Menuhin Yom Rav Nachman said is Afal Pishamar Adam Chatzar Chaver Shalom Midaito Ein Tzar Klalos LaSachar. Even though if you squat in someone else's property, you do not have to pay rent, but halveini v'dor b'chatzeri, if initially you make a deal, lend me money and don't worry, not only will I pay you back the money, you'll be able to live in my chatzer, tzarech la'alos l'socher, then you got to pay rent for that chatzer. Whoa, so mandi amar hilvahu kol shekein halveini. If you said like the first version, that he lent him money without stating anything about the chatzer, and then he just happens to live in the chatzer, if you have to pay even for that, then for sure when it was part of the stated arrangement, you're going to have to pay for it. But mandi amar halveini aval hilvahu lo. But if you say like the second version, where only if it was part of the deal, then you're going to have to pay for it. Sounds like if it wasn't part of the deal, if he just lent the money stam, then he's not going to have to pay for it. My taima, kivin de meikar lavadai tadachi osvei lesson ba. Since that wasn't part of the original arrangement, it's not considered an isser. That which the Mishnah asks to live for free in the guy's property is only because it was stated in advance that was going to be the deal, that they're going to live in the property. Rashi says it doesn't have to be stated in advance, just stated at some point that's the deal, that they're going to be living in that property. Rashi says bein, if you said it beforehand, or bein la achareha, or you said it afterwards. Afterwards might mean when they extend the loan. Rav Yosef Bar Chama takaf avdi di inshi demask buzuzay. So the story of Yosef grabbed avadim for people who owed him money. Avadim that belonged to people who owed him money. Vavadu avinta, and he made these avadim work for him. So Amalei Rava Berei, Rava his son said to him, my time avad marachi, why are you doing that? Amalei, so he said, anak Rav Nachman tzrili, dam Rav Nachman avda nahum kreisei lo shavi. I'm doing a favor to the guy because an evad isn't even worth the meal that he eats, and I'm providing this evad with food. So I'm giving up more than I'm getting out of this evad. So Amalei, so Rava said, Amar dam Rav Nachman gondari avdi demrak bekuvi. That's only good for nothing evad, like Dari who dances, for his lunch in the market. That evad is not worth his food. But avdi achrinim yomar, but like a farmhand who actually does real work, he's worth his food. So you are getting benefit.
Chet. So Amleis, Rav Yosef Bar Chama said, still there's no Isser, because Ana, ki had Rav Daniel Bar Rav Katina Amar Rav Svirili. I hold like what Rav Daniel Bar Rav Katina said in the name of Rav, Da Amar Atokev Avdash Chavera Va'asa Ba Malacha Pater, that if you force your friend's Eved to do Malacha, you don't have to pay to the owner of that Eved for the Malacha that he did, as long as you're not taking him away from Malacha that he otherwise would have done for your friend. He'd rather his Eved not get used to a life where he's just sitting there not doing anything. So Amrlei, so Rava said, but that's only when you don't have a loan in place. Mark, give you the Masik Bezuzay, these guys owe you money, so Mexico Ribis, now it's Mexico Domer of Yosef, Barmin Yomi, Rav Nachman, Alpi Shomra, Dabar Chatz Chaver Shalom Yidaito, Eren Tzorach La'alos Lo Sachar, Hilvo, Dabar Chatz Tzorach La'alos Lo Sachar, even things that we don't attach a monetary value to, but if you lent the guy money and then you take that thing that we don't attach a monetary value to, that's ribis. So Amalei Hadribi, he says, good point, I changed my mind, I'm not going to do that anymore, I'm not going to take his avadim anymore. Okay, Bezrem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Abaye. Have a great day, everyone.